This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I'm a company man here on ESPN Kansas City 99.3 FM, 1510 AM.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
It's a really good poll by Beards. That also means that liner, you could tell in there, that's at least as old as this tablecloth, because it said 99.3. It's been like we've been off that for like a year now. Good work, Beards. Good poll. Welcome back into the show here on ESPN Kansas City. We're out here live at Silverstein Eye Centers Arena in Independence, Missouri for the Kansas City Mavericks playoff game they're hosting here tonight. You can get tickets at the box office out here for $12, or you can go to Ticketmaster.com and get tickets for tonight or for Friday or Saturday's action. All these games start at 7. I'm sticking around for this game tonight after we wrap up the remote. I'm really excited to get to watch playoff hockey. I've been out here for one other game before. It was great, but I've never gotten to watch playoff hockey in person. That's super exciting. Also, very exciting, not just the food sitting to my left, which smells amazing, but the team president and general manager of the Kansas City Mavericks, Brent Thiessen, I also imagine smells great, but I can't tell with the burgers and everything.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for joining us here. What's the best thing food-wise? I don't even know what are in these boxes,
man,
but I'm excited about all of them.
Man, that's a good question. We've got some good stuff on tap here today. So I don't know. I'm going to have to ask you at the end of the evening.
Okay, that's good, because I very much intend on finding all this out. Also, just fair warning, Beards, I don't know how it's going to be audio-wise, but at some point I think I'm going to eat food on the radio, and I just don't know if that's going to be good content or not, but it's going to be great for me. So prepare yourself as you need to back there. While we're out here, it's legitimately extremely cool that we get to be talking about playoffs at any point, but playoff hockey here in Kansas City. Tell us a little bit about the series so far. I know the Mavs went up to Tulsa, split that series. They're the lower seed in this matchup, so splitting that series on the road feels like a win. I know also they took a game to overtime. What all has played into this season to get the Mavs to this point so far?
Well, I think first and foremost, you said something that excites all of us, and that's that we're hosting a playoff hockey game here.
Very cool.
First time in 3 years, and it's great to be back to the playoffs. This franchise is one that's very proud and has a very strong tradition of being in the postseason, so we're happy to be back here. You look at Tulsa, you look at the series so far, as you mentioned, it's 1-1. We were very happy to go in there and get the first game and, do it in a comeback fashion. They jumped on us early 2-0 and, we were able to fight back and get back in the game and then ultimately win it. Game number two, we felt really good. We jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Mm-hmm. And weren't able to hold on, obviously, going into overtime, as you mentioned. And, overtime hockey in the playoffs is some of the most exciting sports you can watch. Next goal wins. You stay as long as it takes. And unfortunately, we came up on the short end of that game. But, now we come back. We've got home ice. We've got the next three games here, this being a best-of-seven series.
Right.
There's four rounds best-of-seven in the ECHL playoffs. So there's a lot of hockey to be played, but we like the next three games at home. And I'll tell you, this team has been very, very strong at home. So we're happy about that.
This is going to be a long path. It's going to be a very weird flex and then a question. It's actually a question. I did a radio hit, I think, for a station in Edmonton around the AFC Championship game, and they started talking about the relation to the Mavs and all of the hockey, because it's such a huge deal there. They're asking me questions that I did not have enough of the answers to. It's like, oh, guys, I don't know. I don't know if I have an intimate understanding of the way that all of these systems intertwine. But the Mavs are an affiliate with the Calgary Flames and also with Stockton. So what's going on here? How does the NHL AHL thing work within correlation to the Mavs?
Well, it's a great question. So we are affiliated with the NHL Calgary Flames, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. Their AAA affiliate in the American Hockey League is the Stockton Heat.
Right.
And then of course we are the AA affiliate. So Calgary. will send us players. We will develop those players. They'll play here. They'll see success here, and then they'll be called up to AAA in Stockton, and then hopefully ultimately make it to the National Hockey League one day. And you know, just a quick side note on that: since we've joined the ECHL, this being our fourth season now, we've had five players that have played here and then have ultimately made the National Hockey League. So the players that you're going to be watching tonight, yes, they all have aspirations of growing their career and moving up, and certainly some will.
And if people are coming out here tonight, it's like, okay, listen, for whatever reason, they haven't jumped in for the last, it's been 10 years.
Yes,
the logos with the hockey sticks and everything, I've seen all over the place on the jerseys and everything. Very cool. But I saw that. I was like, wait, is that because of 10 years? I was like, it is. It's been 10 years that the Mavericks have been here, which is crazy. If somehow someone has taken 10 years to get on board, they come out tonight because they want to see playoff action here. Who should we be looking for? Who jumps off the ice to you?
Well, I think, number one, that's a great question, because I think typically you're always looking at you know, who's to watch, who's a key player for us. I think that's some of the magic that for us this year with this squad. You know, we've got a very deep team, and what I mean by that is we've got a lot of guys that can score, and you know, you're seeing that. You've got a guy like DeRocher who you know, has a goal in game one and game two, and you know, he was a leader this year. He wasn't the leader, but he was a leader, and he's continuing that in the playoffs. So, you know, we've got a lot of guys that really can contribute. We've got three lines that you're going to see produce, and I think that's when we're having success, you're going to see production from lines one, two, and three, and I think that's pretty unique. You know, you look at the other side of the table there with Tulsa. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got two pretty great players in Perfetto and Pleskatch, and those guys always find their way on the score sheet, and they're always contributing, and we have to find a way to shut those guys down. And I think if we can, then we'll have success. So as you mentioned, 10 years, it's been 10 years. I still run into people out and about, and they tell me the same thing. They're like, you know what, I've always wanted to get over there for a hockey game, and I just haven't for some reason.
Right.
And you know, it's amazing. Those are the people that when they finally do come, they come back and give us feedback and say, you know what, I shouldn't have waited that long.
Yeah.
It's such a great time, and really had no idea that this was going on. So, you know what, we would encourage everybody to come out this week. Three games, Wednesday tonight, of course, and Friday and Saturday. We continue the series with Game 4 and Game 5. And if you haven't seen playoff hockey, it is a whole nother level, and it's some of the most exciting sports you can watch.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. What's your response to people say, oh, man, I've wanted to make it out there, but it's just, well, how long you guys been there again? Oh God, 10 years. Oh no, what do they? Does the blush fully happen as you go, oh, listen, you've only had 10 years to make it out. Do you put them on blast ever?
Well, you know what? It's something that I typically try, and I don't bring that up in the conversation because you're right. The minute that I say, you know, we're celebrating an anniversary season and it's our 10th season, they, you know, that the comment undoubtedly that comes out next is, I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Right.
So I know how that goes. I mean, time flies, and you know, I've got four kids, and they're all involved in sports themselves, and I know schedules can get very hectic, but you know what, this is an opportunity here that we certainly have realized in the past couple of years you can't take for granted, and
yeah,
it's playoffs, and it's really an opportunity to come out here and cheer us on, and what a great venue, what a great building, and what a great atmosphere. It's going to
yeah.
be a lot of fun tonight.
And again, if you haven't made that jump, or if you have, you said, oh, it's been too long, or if you were here a minute ago, come out tonight. It's $12 tickets at the box office. Parking's free. You can also come out if tonight doesn't work, whatever. You're running out of excuses, because you got a lot of times you can come out here for guaranteed playoff hockey Friday and Saturday. Those games both start at 7. So if you're not going to come out tonight, which, again, that's your loss, I suppose, but Friday and Saturday, this will all be happening all over again. What's changed over 10 years? Like, what's better now than it was at the beginning? What's grown that maybe has surprised you? What's the most obvious evolution over this decade of Mavs hockey?
Well, that's a great question. I think, You know, having been here for all 10 years, you know, it's been pretty special to watch this community take hold and support this team.
Yeah.
I can tell you that one of my favorite memories is looking back 10 years ago and having meetings with fans and people in the community and telling them that a hockey team was coming.
Right.
And you would have thought we landed on Mars and people looking at us like, you're going to put what in there?
Right.
And you know what, to be fair, hockey's not native to this market. I mean, it has been here, but it's not something that a lot of people grew up with. And, you know, a lot of people have learned the game and as we've been here and have an appreciation now for it. But I think probably one of the best changes for me personally has just been watching how many hockey fans we've made.
Yeah.
And how many people that, you know, we've introduced the game to and really now have an appreciation for the athletes.
Yeah.
What they're doing out there. So I think that's probably maybe one of the most special things for me.
The just like the raw athleticism that literally every single hockey player is constantly putting out. One of the things I've told my girlfriend to stop asking me to go skating. Yeah. I don't want to ice skate. I can't. It's a disaster for me. I've tried. It's always bad. They're doing all of this all on skates, which I don't say just because I've never seen a hockey game. It's the only thing I can talk about. No, really. I promise. That blows my mind every time because I can't even manage it. It's so far beyond me.
Well, at least you tried.
I've tried. I've tried
many
times
over for that. Absolutely.
And
I think a lot of times people overlook also, what they're doing to their bodies as far as
the physicality is incredible.
Absolutely. You know, you're blocking shots. These guys are black and blue after the game, and you know, in most series, in most ways it plays out, you're playing the next day or you're playing on a day's rest. If you look at the NFL and football, you know, you've got a week in between, right?
Yep.
And we don't have that luxury in hockey. We're going almost every other night, and it's a grueling stretch, especially when you're giving up your body night in, night out for any opportunity, any advantage. You see these guys after the game, and it really is a brutal stretch.
Yeah, and even so, like maybe you could even help explain to people that don't have an incredible understanding, which I guess incredible understanding. I'm in that group also. Talk about line switching, like the fact that this is constantly happening, where it's not like substitutions in football, even where it's happening between plays really quickly. You're talking about huge turnovers within the action. Like how the mechanics of all of that also always sort of leave me just going like, man, this sport's freaking crazy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This is ridiculous.
You know what? It is something that we find with when we introduce the game to new fans that they have questions with how do you change and that sort of thing. And a lot of people are really surprised to find out that after 30 seconds, 45 seconds on the ice of skating hard, you are absolutely gassed.
Yeah.
I mean, you are done. You are spent. And so a lot of people don't realize that it's that quick.
Right.
And so once you're out there for, 30, 45 seconds, you're going to be coming off. And the way that happens is you have a line that the coach sets at the beginning of the game. And, your centerman, your right wing and your left wing. So you'll go out as a three-person forward unit. And, he'll mention the center's name that's going out next. And, of course, you know then that that's your line. And
right.
So when that guy in your position comes off, it's time for you to go on. So it's it happens very quickly.
Yeah.
It looks very coordinated.
It does.
It's really a unique part of hockey that I think probably a lot of us take for granted.
You talk about the coaching aspect also, to get this something that I don't understand as well as I probably should at this point. And we can talk about the Mavs coaching staff specifically. What all is happening as all of this is going on all at once? Because the odds of being able to communicate from, not really even a sideline. What's the right word for that?
Benches, I guess,
is good. You know, the way that it's moving all so quickly and all of the line shifts are all happening all at once, what is the coaching element that we don't see with the naked eye?
Sure. Well, I think a lot, first and foremost, the one of the advantages to playing at home, which a lot of people don't realize, you always think, okay, well, they're sleeping in their own beds. They're getting their home-cooked meals. They play in front of their fans. Our fans get to be loud. Those are the
obvious advantages to being at home. But in addition to that, you also have last change. So our coaching staff gets to, when there is a whistle, we get to see who the other team is putting on the ice first.
I had no idea.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people don't. And you know, it does play a factor in the game. And it's an opportunity, again, as we kind of talked briefly upon earlier. You got guys on Tulsa that, you know, you definitely want to shut down and slow down. And so we have an opportunity with our coaching staff when they come on the ice to put our guys on that we want to make sure to get the best matchup. So that is a unique part of home ice advantage. And also, I'll give you another little tidbit. The other team has to put their stick down first on faceoffs. You know, just some subtle nuances there with home ice advantage. But it is something that that plays into the game.
Okay, so one more time here. I mean, well, I'll say this many times. Well, you're still here with us, Brent. You can come out to the game tonight, 7 o'clock, puck drops, $12 ticket to the box office. Also games Friday and Saturday, also starting at 7 o'clock. You go to Ticketmaster to get tickets here. One more time, give us the sales pitch on what it is that we're going to see here tonight. We're going to see it again on Friday and Saturday out here in Silverstein Ice Center's Arena.
Well, absolutely. This is bonus hockey, and I mean that in the truest sense. This is, you know, we have to win the series or our season's over.
Yeah.
And guys are not ready to be done playing hockey yet. So you're going to be seeing the best hockey that that you've seen all year. You're going to be seeing guys absolutely flying around. The energy and atmosphere in this arena is electric.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a tailgate going on outside right now, and there's some great food and drinks out there. And I think once everybody comes into this building, they're going to be ready for just an incredible hockey game. And I think, again, just speaking to that from a pure entertainment value, this is playoff hockey. There's nothing better. And I certainly hope that we treat everybody to a great game tonight.
I would expect nothing less, and I can't wait to see it myself. Thank you, Brent Thiessen, team president and GM of the Kansas City Mavericks here on ESPN Kansas City. Thank you for coming out, and yeah, let's watch some hockey. Maybe we could skip through the next couple hours. You probably have some sort of like preparing that you might want to do.
That's right.
I don't. I'm ready. We get in this show 45 minutes early and start the game now if you want. I'm ready. If you are, you're not.
I appreciate being on, and I look forward to asking you what the best food is here.
I look forward to being able to answer that knowledge.
There you go.
All right, more Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City after this.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hey, I'm Bono, and you're listening to ESPN Kansas City.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I didn't hear Beards' final warning about coming back from break, so I may have been shoving a bite of burger into my mouth as the intro was playing. It wasn't Beards' fault. I'm sure you said it. I just
I didn't
hear it. They're also, they have like the chips that are cut like vertically through a potato, you know? Like they're potato chips, not fries. But they're the ones that are just like those giant vertical discs. They have a nice thickness to them, though they are kind of potato-y. Hold on, ready? I'm a big fan. What'd you have for lunch today, Beards?
Canes.
Ah, that's exciting. Could you stop answering questions in one syllable when I clearly need you to stall for me?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, what an absolute nightmare. Thanks again to Brent Thiessen, GM and president of the Mavs, for coming on this stupid, stupid show where I crunch chips into the microphone for Beard's answers in one syllable. Stupid. The food's excellent, though. I've only tried the burger. There's a whole hot dog sitting over there I haven't tried yet. It's all extremely good, and I'm legitimately excited for all the hockey action tonight. So come out if you want to stop by tonight. $12 for tickets at the box office for playoff hockey in Kansas City. I don't know why you wouldn't make it out here to Independence. Plus, if your schedule won't allow, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock start times as well. Come get a little 420. Come get on 420. Come get high on hockey. They can have that. I need to go find Brent to see if he wants to use that. If he wants to use that saying, he can have it for free. I'm willing to let them have it. If they put on a T-shirt, though, I want one. I want a T-shirt that says "Get High on Hockey." The Royals won in, I think, extras. I don't know. I can't see anything because I'm out here and not anywhere near a television. there was a slight fight about bat flips, and Hunter Dozier has 5 homers on the year now, which is exciting. I remember talking to David Leskie back. It was like it might have been like after game like 3 or something. Talking about how he thought maybe the Royals were like really cooling off on Hunter Dozier. I don't know if that was just a guess by Leskie and it didn't end up going that way, or if that was the truth and now he's been like electric. But that's hilarious. I mentioned this yesterday. Every time's a flat circle. I mentioned this, I think, yesterday when I was talking to Kevin for Baseball Tonight about the fact that the Royals have been better than the rest of their admittedly crappy division this whole time, like this entire season. That's really been true, except for the bullpen, which has been an absolute, like, unequivocal nightmare. If the bullpen can just be less nightmarish, they start to look like a competent baseball team. And winning the Central is not going to mean winning the pennant. You know, it's not going to mean winning the American League. It's not going to mean winning the AL Central would mean winning the pennant. Please don't at me. I misspoke. Winning the division in this division wouldn't even mean that, like, the rebuild is over. It wouldn't mean that your team has mostly been assembled. It would just mean being the best of a bunch of really subpar teams. But that would be really nice. And at this point, it's a shame because we're talking about this on April 17th. It might be. It's at least close to being too far gone for the Royals. It's at least close to the point of, you know what, even if things do get better in the bullpen, they're not better enough everywhere else to make it really matter. Which, again, you know, that's sort of a bummer. But you hope that we at least get to find the answer to that question out. That's what I would like at this point. Beards, you can manage the Facebook comments. I don't know if anything's popped up throughout the day. I did have JP tweet in and ask about actually, he was tweeting at 8:10, asking why the Chiefs are at New England again. I promise, even though it's the Patriots, it's not a grand conspiracy. It's not all about trying to keep the Patriots at home for all these games. There is a system to it. I can't explain it to you all right now. But the way that the divisions have ended up, and whenever they play other divisions and they play teams that match up the divisions and all that, there is a system that's happening there. I don't know what it is necessarily, but I promise you, not a grand conspiracy. This isn't the Patriots trying to tilt everything in their favor, even as they do, you know, do things like that all the time, it very much seems. So that notwithstanding, that's not really a thing. I did see that Rob tweeted at me and Ryan and said, talk Thrones. So, Beards, I've got 2 episodes left of season 7. We're close, man. I'm almost
2 and
there.
A half.
Nope, I watched the second half today.
Oh, good.
Last night I got through like 3 episodes. We don't need to give them music. I'm not going to give spoilers or whatever, but there was a thing that happened at the end of episode 4 of season 7, which Beards is one of his favorite episodes, and it was a great episode.
It is
for
my
a variety
favorite
of
episode.
Reasons. That's crazy to me because, well, I don't, not going to spoil. I'm surprised that it's your favorite episode. It was a really good episode, though. Like, I enjoyed it. And then I watched the beginning of episode 5 because at the end of episode 7 there's a cliffhanger and I'm impatient. But then I fell asleep. Like, I was falling asleep about halfway through and I just paused and went to bed. And I watched the second half of that episode today. So I just have 2 episodes remaining. That maybe that'll be my chaser for the hockey today.
Yeah,
maybe,
just watch those together.
I'm planning on it. But maybe I'll watch those 2 and then be 1 step closer to actually being ready for the season that everyone else is already watching. So that's exciting. You know what? No, because we need to do a whole season 7 recap. No, I'm going to save it. We're not going to use it today.
So here's my theory.
Now you want to be multisyllabic. I'm going to have a chip. Go ahead.
So, if you watch 6 and 7 tonight,
is that a good sound?
It's fine. Uh-huh. If you watch 6 and 7 tonight, we can come in tomorrow and then we can talk about it. Did you go away there for a second?
I turned on my microphone while I'm chewing chips.
Oh,
don't worry about it.
It scared me. We can talk about season 7 tomorrow, and then you can watch episode 8, season 1, on Thursday night, and then we can talk about that Friday.
That's loosely my goal. That's my goal right now. We can get Rudy in at some point on Friday. We'll figure it out. We don't have a sports on Friday because of basketball, I think.
Yes.
But we do have it tomorrow night, and we have this show tomorrow as well. So we will have our chance to talk about 7. And as far as I know, like you said, nothing giant happens in the first episode of season 8. Like, I know something happens on some level, but it's not like nothing crazy.
Correct.
So once I've finished season 7, I am ready to start firing off predictions like a machine gun. I have at least 2 that I'm already really fond of. But I think one of them might come true before the end of season 7.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is it?
Can I say? Do we need to give a quick spoiler alert on the thing that okay, quick spoiler alert for, it's a prediction that it's a late season 7 prediction. Okay, you want both of them?
Sure, why not? I mean, we're already here.
So I think it's going to take season 8 for the Jon Daenerys, moment or number of moments, but that seems like they've been foreshadowing that really hard these last couple episodes. I don't know if you mentioned like the fast travel thing is a bit of an issue with season 7, so that could, I guess, happen. I keep waiting for Jaime to die. Not because I think he even has to. And if he does, Cersei would go like absolutely bonkers. I sort of loosely think that might happen. I don't know. That's where I'm at. Somebody just walked by in like an absolutely outstanding Missouri Mavericks jersey. It was in Missouri, but it's got like it's just like the
Missouri Mavericks or Kansas City Mavericks.
No, it was a Missouri one.
Okay,
it said Missouri. It was an older one. I caught myself just barely. I will say though, I know that they're gracious hosts, and I'm happy to be here. But it was always absolutely bonkers to me. This was the case 10 years ago that we got a minor league hockey team here. And they immediately made the mascot an orange and blue horse.
Yeah.
That was always really, that was like a stunning
story. I don't think I've ever thought of that until right now, but yeah.
Apparently neither did the design team. I also think that the names on the back of the jerseys may legitimately be the Broncos font. I see a jersey down there, and it legitimately is like the Broncos lettering and numbering. I almost asked Brent about it, but we were having a really good time. I didn't want to run in our parade. But I will say, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go ahead and go grab a hat or something between the end of this show and the beginning of the game. I did find some orange and blue clothes. I have very few of those for obvious allegiance reasons.
I've got blue, but no orange, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm all blue today. I have the blue 810 shirt that we have, but I have my my orange Star Wars Rebels hat.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm wearing that today. It's a look. I'll say it's certainly a look. Maybe, you know what? See, this is what I got to figure out. We got free food. Can I leverage like a hat out of this? This is a real challenge that I'm having. Rob is here. Sales guy Rob. We don't have another, not fast talking. He's gone. He's dead to us. He might be dead as far as I know. I unfollowed him on all social media whenever he left A10. But Rob Manning is here. Sales guy Rob. I feel like, Rob, I'm going to need you to sort of ask those questions for me. I need you to butter up the folks at the Mavs. I'll put the hat. I also have a really big head, so this is why like a hat's a really bad ask for me, because I'm like a 7¾ situation. Where, like, me and Steven could basically share hats. That might be the wrong question to be asking. I'm just trying. This is sort of my quest in life in general, is to leverage relatively minor influence into free stuff. The jerseys are great, though. Hockey jerseys are incredible, including all these Mavs ones. Even as they're orange and blue horses, I'm not even mad at it. They're that good. They do straight up have the Broncos font for the names though on the back, which is crazy to me. I need to have a word with the design team. Rob, could you hook me up with a meeting with the design team? Stupid. Just dumb. Also now, Beards, Rudy has tweeted at us, because every time the Royals win a game, he tweets at us saying how many wins they have and how many more they have to go to get the number that makes you eat all that chicken, or me if it's one more than that. And they're now at 6 wins and 69 nice to go, according to Rudy's tweet. Are you worried yet? I'm not.
No.
I'm not worried. The division's really bad, but like they've been playing exclusively the AL Central. I still feel pretty good about it, to be honest.
They're now what? How many wins do they have now? Or not? Wait a minute. What's their record now?
6-11.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
But they don't have to get to 500. Like right now, the pacing is pretty close. Okay, hold on. So right now, their winning percentage is.
Listen, there'll be a month where they win 2 games.
It might be next month because that schedule's brutal. Oh, they're not 6. It's not 6 divided by 11. It's 6 by 17, right? So they're at
33%.
35 is that?
33.
Exactly?
Yeah.
One more loss would make them 33.
I've got them at 6-12 right here.
Oh, I said 6-11.
Yeah, that's why.
You're right. They lost last night. You're right. Okay, that's my bad. So yeah, so my math was correct. My numbers were wrong. So they're okay. You're right. That's definitely not going to get it done, because what's 33? 160? What's 33% of 162? If they continued this pace, what would that leave them?
That would be 53 wins.
That's not good.
That's not good.
that's really ungood. Okay, but the counter argument here, if I was Rudy, is that their recent stretch. Well, okay, they swept Cleveland, and they went 1-2 against the White Sox. But like a 4-2 stretch, they might pull off. They're probably not going to have another double digit losing streak.
Are you sure?
Because Brad Keller pitches, and although he's going to have a bad day eventually.
And also, he has a bullpen behind him.
He does have. Well, yeah, that's a good point. He's not a ten inning guy. He's not a 10-inning guy. That's correct. He's not gonna take a 0-0 game.
They were what, 2-10 before the White Sox, before they swept whoever it was.
Cleveland. Yes, God, yeah. Yes, they were. They were 2-10. So 6-12 seems like a huge win right now. But this upcoming stretch, they got 4 games. I know we did this already. I know we're doing a schedule talk for baseball.
If
we're at the top of the world right
now.
So
just in that stretch, if they would continue to that pace, they'd have won 27 games this season. I'm not worried.
But I don't think that stretch, I don't think they're going to lose 10 again in a row.
Are you sure?
But they do have, no, because they have these 4 games at the, no, because here's what I think happens, basically. I think they like get swept by the Yankees, right? They lose 4 in a row, but then they get Keller in game 1 against the Rays, and they win that one. And then they
so
lose
they win
2
1
more.
Out of 10.
Yeah, that would still be good for us, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, good point. That's all fair. Someone's wearing an Iron Man. This is an Iron Man Mavs jersey. It straight up looks like the Iron Man suit. Minor league hockey jerseys are the best. Seriously, this is where my danger's at.
If they went 500 for the rest of the season, they'd have 72 wins.
Oh, that's good math by you. That's really good. If they went 500 from here on out, they'd have 72?
Yep. Because there's 100. There's what, 144 games left?
Sure.
Yeah.
Will you respond to Rudy's tweet and just mention that? Because that's excellent.
I will do so.
Did you hear what I was saying about the Iron Man jersey?
Kind of. I was busy doing my math, so I missed
it's
out.
It's like they must have had like a Marvel night or something. In fact, I remember them doing that, because I think that might have also been 8-10 night, now that I remember it. It's extremely good. There are some extremely good because like minor league baseball teams occasionally will do stuff like that, but the hockey jerseys are already cool enough that it's all really easy. I might leave tonight with like a significant less amount of money. I don't know how much these are. I don't think they're selling like Marvel ones right now. But like if I could just get, I have a Phoenix now Arizona Coyotes one. I apparently root for hockey teams to change their name.
Hang on, I think I might have done my math wrong.
How many They're 6-12.
Yeah, I didn't factor in that part.
Oh, so that make them 78 then?
78, yeah.
Oh, well, we'd be bleeped.
But they're not going to go 500 for the rest of the season.
They could.
But they're not.
They could. They've gone 500 over the since if you just get swept by Seattle. Now, let's do this. Here, Beards, you want to have a good time? Let's do their record minus the AL Central. Because, let's see, two wins, five of their six wins. No, wait, they're all their wins have been against the AL Central. But I guess they've only played AL Central games except for that the Seattle series.
So they'd be winless except for the AL Central.
But yes, but also they'd be 0-4. Like, it's not a great, that's not a huge sample size. So I'm not sure we've solved anything.
No.
We're out here at Silver Sign Einsteiner's Arena. The doors have begun to open. People have begun to file in, which is why I'm telling you about all the cool jerseys that I'm seeing. I have gotten so close twice and just been like, hey, guy, where did you get that? Because I love them. But if you want to come out here to the game tonight, tickets are just $12 at the box office for playoff hockey. That's really cool.
They're 6-8 just in the division.
So I think here's the muy spicy take of the day. I think they could go roughly 500 in the division from here on out. That's not high praise, but it's something. I think they could go roughly 500 in the division from here on out. And worse than that outside of the division, which probably isn't going to be enough. You've got to be above 500 and probably well above 500 within the miserable AL Central. So I think that's probably our watermark there.
I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm also not worried. I am worried about eating the rest of this hamburger, so we'll take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll figure out how we wrap up the show. I literally have no idea. But right now, we're at Silver Sign Einsteiner's Arena out here in Independence. You can see the 810 Cruiser. It's parked out there because I put it there. And you can come through for some playoff hockey in Kansas City. Game starts tonight at 7. Also the case Friday and Saturday. If you want tickets Friday or Saturday, you can go to Ticketmaster.com and get your tickets there. I'm sure there'll also be more information. There's a Ninja Turtles one. I'm just narrating the jerseys that are coming by. This one's incredible. It's a TMNT Mavs jersey. Oh, my, I love it. I'll give you $100,000. I don't have $100,000. I'm sorry. I just offered this woman $100,000 that I don't have. But it's incredible. Oh, I love it. So many jerseys, and then, like, the old-school hockey masks and stuff. This is good. Beards, can we get almost entirely sports hockey jerseys? Can you make a call?
I mean,
I'd
do that.
Mavs, see if the Mavs want to do an AES night. How far away are we, do you think, from getting just like a little wiener dog patch, like on the jersey?
Sponsored by Love.
And we have infinite Love sponsorships we can give. Oh yeah, Beards and I last night. Beards and I were part of a podcast. It'll be out, I think, a week from in a little under a week. The You Can Miss Me Without podcast. My friend Luther. He did a podcast. I've been on it twice now. Beards and I both been on it twice now, but Beards had more audio time this week. And I think we might be getting a Beards McFly cast at some point on You Can Miss Me With That. So if you want to go subscribe to his podcast, I wouldn't be mad about it. It's really fun. We had a good time. And we'll share all that whenever it comes out for sure. But that's something that we did last night. That was fun. Anyway, if you want to come out here to the Mavs game, it is $12 for tickets at the door, Ticketmaster.com for tickets Friday or Saturday. Those games all start at 7. Hockey, playoff hockey in Kansas City out here in Independence. So come by, say hello. I'll be here all the way through the game. I'm hanging out. I'm ready to see the playoffs. So I'll be here. You should be here. And we'll have more Almost Entirely Sports whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sam Bradford is to quarterbacking as Sam Bradford is to handsomeness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Is it ideal? No. Is it perfect? No. Is it Tom Brady? No. Can you score with him? I think so.
On ESPN Kansas City.
That was one of the most clairvoyant moments in show history. He really is the Sam Bradford of handsomeness and also the Sam Bradford of quarterbacking. Do we need to recalibrate that now since Sam Bradford's kind of not really a thing?
No.
I think not. I don't know if it needs to be. We don't have to eliminate him, but I think that his quarterback play has dropped off in a way that his handsomeness hasn't. Like, I think Alex Smith is equally handsome to his quarterback play. It's better than Sam Bradford in both regards. It's like Brady is also, you know, equal to equal. I'm trying to figure out how we expand this game without it being horribly insulting. So we're going to say, like, well, who's got the worst ratio or the best ratio, however you want to frame it, of, like, way better quarterback than handsome or vice versa? But I don't know. I think you can only say that someone's more handsome than the quarterback play and not vice versa.
I mean, Roethlisberger.
I was just about to say, and you know what, actually, I feel like we're allowed to make fun of Ben Roethlisberger. So we can say that Ben Roethlisberger is, although I don't, listen, man, you know what? I think Ben Roethlisberger may be, as a quarterback right now, also very close to Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, longevity.
That's
I'm looking
fair.
At the career arc here.
Remember all those commercials during the NCAA tournament about CBS, you know, the CBS Sports Network, like, want sports talk without the fake hot takes and fake debate? Do you remember those commercials?
They yes, I saw your tweet about this.
They had a guy, I'm not telling the world, not just you, but I am glad that you saw this. So I don't know who it was. Some analyst, whatever. He was on one of their shows. I don't know what the show was either. And he said that if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one to the Cardinals, he could see him, and I think the phrasing was like, he could see him possibly falling out of the first round altogether. What a stupid thing to say for no reason. And, like, listen, man, I get it. I understand what it's like to have an extra 15 minutes left and nothing that you actually want to talk about. I get it. I've been there. I might be there right now. I don't know. But, like, to go with something that, like, ridiculously outlandish is just silly. And the idea, like, if that was even partially true, like, let's debunk this on a functional level. If the Cardinals believe that to be any sort of true, they'd be smart to just take Bosa and then trade up later on. Or you'd be talking about him again at one of the second round. It's a gamble, but maybe you do it at 15 if there's any chance that's true. And it's just not. There's just no way. Like, it's a quarterback league, man. People are, the Raiders have Derek Carr, who's like the poster child of, middling quarterback play. But they and the Giants and the Bengals are all tired of being the team that doesn't draft the quarterback, or at least doesn't draft the right quarterback. Whenever you have a chance, and I've heard people say that, you know, they don't love Dwayne Haskins, that's fine. Drew Locke is interviewing with every team, but no one really knows where he's going to go. All that stuff, man, I totally get it. I really do. It's a crapshoot. But the idea that you would say that Kyler Murray is either going to go 1 or 30-something is really silly. Because, again, if the Cardinals had any thought that maybe they were delusionally pro-Kyler Murray, you would at least expect them to be non-delusional enough to realize that they could flip Patrick Peterson for pick 24 and then wait and grab Kyler Murray there. Like, or whatever they trade Rosen for. I don't know that he's going to go 1. I don't know that they're done with Josh Rosen. I have no idea. But I would like to take the over on whatever the number of quarterbacks are that are mocked to go in the first round. I'm going to pull up a random mock draft. ESPN has... Oh, this one's all trades. That's okay. That's a bit much. Let's go Daniel Jeremiah, who has Drew Locke going to the Packers, which, by the way, like, when we talk about teams that shouldn't be drafting quarterbacks yet, it's probably the Packers. They can get another shot on the next Drew Locke in 2 years. But so they've got Daniel Jeremiah has – this is stupid. We're doing a stupid dumb sports radio thing right now. But he's got Kyler Murray at quarterback going 1. He's got Daniel Jones from Duke going 6. He's got Dwayne Haskins going 11 to the Bengals. We're at 3, and Drew Lock at 30. I think I'd probably roll the over on 3.5, and he's got Drew Lock again going all the way down like to 30. The Chiefs take Byron Murphy, cornerback out of Washington. This would be a no-brainer. Kansas City takes the best defensive back still available and gets good value. Thank you, Daniel Jeremiah. I don't know. It's just, I think all of that's silly. Also, Byron Murphy out of Washington would be especially hilarious because Marcus Peters is a Washington guy. The comparisons would begin. That would be fun. I'm a big fan of that. We talked to Ryan Scott Hall earlier, and he mentioned Jonathan Abram. I've seen him mock to the Colts a couple of times. Once it was with the Chiefs pick, which I didn't totally understand. I don't know. We'll talk more Chiefs draft stuff. We'll probably grab somebody the next couple of days to talk to on the show. That I don't know if I need to like absolutely sink my teeth into that. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this all-trades mock draft. Because, like, as much as I do want to rage against the stupidity that happens around draft season, I do kind of want to see what Bill Barnwell did for the Chiefs as a trade. Trading up to 18 with the Vikings. For what? I don't know. Just pick up their pick from the cornerback class. Okay, so like with that in mind, the conversation we had with Ryan earlier was that they could probably get their pick of the cornerback class at 29. Like that's the smart money. That's the best bet. I don't know. It's all kind of silly. We're in that stage. Everything's just kind of silly, and that's okay. A full like I think a hawk, maybe a falcon mascot just walked by. What kind of bird are you? What kind of bird is this? It just opened it. It just unhinged its jaw. Can you do that again for me, bird? Can you unhinge your jaw again? Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. And excellent. That makes... Okay, so this makes a lot of sense. This is a very well-designed mascot here. A red-tailed hawk. Excellent. The more you know. Thank you, red-tailed hawk, for coming by and making answering my questions about what kind of bird you are. It's really excellent. Okay, last call. We're out here at Silverstein Eye Center's Arena in Independence getting ready for the Mavs-Oilers game. It's playoff hockey in Kansas City. Game 3 is tonight. It starts at 7, also Friday and Saturday. Tickets are $12 here, and there's free parking, or you can get to Ticketmaster.com for stuff on Friday and Saturday. Thanks to everyone here at Silverstein for hosting us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. I'll let you know how the hockey game goes for my personal experience. Until then, bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.